pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In my first year of seminary, I had to interview for a church. All seminarians had to have a church that they were involved with. Now, I was not very polished. I did not interview well. I was sort of shy. And the first pastor that I interviewed with, I was really impressed with. He was gregarious and everything I was not. And he was so charming to me, and I really enjoyed our interview, and I tried to put my best foot forward and convince him that I was right for his church, and he chose somebody else. So then I was on interviewer number two, and I knew that I really needed to get into a church because that would not look well on to the powers that be if I didn't have a place to go. And this one was even more compelling because it was 45 minutes away from seminary. So I figured I'd be away from all the prying eyes of professors and could make my mistakes and nobody would see. So that particular pastor, again, was a charming, charming man. And the first thing he said to me, or maybe the second after hello, was he was talking about his philosophy of life, and he said, "I am not a born-again Christian." Now, I came from a very conservative background. And I thought the way that people became Christian was to be born again. So how on earth could this man say, "I'm not a born again Christian," and he's a pastor of a church? I was horrified, but I made sure that I did not show that on my face because I really needed the job. And I figured, if anything, maybe these poor people could use somebody saved in their church if their pastor wasn't. So I fortunately got this job. And I listened very carefully on Sunday morning to this man who said he was not born again. I did not understand this. The words that came out of his mouth were certainly gracious. The words that came out of his mouth were from Scripture. And he preached inspirationally, and he preached as if the Spirit was with him. So I thought, maybe I misheard him, or maybe he was thinking about something else. And the more I got to know him, the more I realized that what he was saying was not, "I'm not saved," or "I don't know Jesus," but he was railing against a philosophy that has seeped into the Christian church that has reduced the gospel message to this slogan, being born again. And being born again meaning getting your ticket punched so that you're okay. And that God says, "Oh yeah, you're okay, you can get into heaven once it's time." And that has so watered down the message. So what was Jesus talking about when he said, "You need to be born from above"? Well, let's look at the guy that he said these words to, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not a dirty, rotten sinner. Nicodemus was one of the good guys. He was not only a Pharisee, he was not only a teacher of the law, but he was on that powerful committee called the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were the people who were ruling the Jewish folks. And they were the people who would set out guidelines. They were the people who prayed. They were the people who taught the sacred scriptures. This was a man who was steeped in the holy. And he went to Jesus by night because a lot of the Pharisees were not too thrilled about Jesus. So in order to secure his place in the council and not jeopardize his position, he came to Jesus during the nighttime. Well, and the other thing is that Jesus was always surrounded by people, so about the only time he could have privacy was at night. And he went to Jesus and he said to him, "Well, we know..." You know, in all the debates, they knew that this man had to be a good man because of all the wonderful things he did. And then Jesus hits him with, "You've got to be born from above." Now, Nicodemus was not dense. He understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying that you have to have a complete reorientation of your life. You have to have a change of heart and mind. And Nicodemus, an old man, said, you know, that's as impossible as me trying to climb back in my mother's womb. How can these things be? I am too old to change. He didn't understand. And Jesus said, I'll tell you how it's done. He said, it's not done through you making any decision. It's done through the animating spirit of God. And being born from above was not something that was done once that I can trace back to and say, that's when I changed. Being born from above is a gift that is given to us every single day. We can push the restart button and we can have new life every single day. When this day is done, if we have been given the capacity of breath tomorrow, we have an opportunity to have new life. And it's a life that's given to us by God. And Jesus said something spectacular to Nicodemus, something we quote all the time, but we don't know how radical it must have sounded to Nicodemus, where Nicodemus was part of a race that said salvation belongs to us. Jesus said salvation belongs to the entire world, and God did not condemn anyone, but pulls us all in. We have the opportunity tomorrow to have a new day and a new start in life. Every day we wake up, the animating spirit of God is there to give us new life. In that same seminary experience that I had with that pastor who was so wonderful and turned out to be a wonderful colleague and mentor, he sent me to the nursing homes. Now, unfortunately for people stuck in nursing homes, they are stuck with people who experiment on them. And being a pastor type, most of us have to go into the nursing home, so they throw these, they inflict on these unsuspecting old people, novices like myself at that time, who had to go and minister to somebody. So the person I was ministering to, and I use that lightly, was a lady who was blind, who was well into her 90s, if not past 100. And she was confined to one room. She had been a school teacher. She had had a wonderful life, but she had no husband, no children, nobody to remember her. So she was truly alone. And I'm her prize. So I was in the room with her, and each time I went to see her, I would sing, I'd open my Bible, I'd read to her. But I wondered what kind of life she must have alone in that room. She couldn't go to the worship services because they were too confusing to her. All she heard was this cacophony of sound. She also had hearing issues. And I thought how cruel that she should be left alive and alone in a nursing home. But she didn't seem to be downtrodden. She didn't seem to be an unhappy, bitter woman. In fact, she seemed very content. And every day she said she prayed. And I thought, well, that must have something to do with it. She must feel some kind of presence. And I was at a time in my life where I had no idea why I was where I was. I figured God had made some incredible joke, or maybe I missed a call and I was supposed to be doing something else, like, you know, running a car wash instead of being in seminary. And so every time I went to her, I thought, I'm going through the motions. I don't even think if this is the right thing for me. And one day, we had finished our thing and I was praying for her. And after I finished my prayer, she looked at me with unseeing eyes and said, Dawn, I want you to know something. I pray for you every single day. And something, the animated spirit of God, came into me. Now that memory is well over 30 years old. And because that woman I was ministering to was praying for me, and I knew that, It changed how I looked at this life in ministry. Sometimes it's only a few words that can change us. There's an animating spirit of God. Every day we can have new life. It is possible. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He's saying, it's not about getting your ticket stamped. It's about life, each and every day. Life not only for the people here in these pews, for the people outside this church. God so loved that he gave. Tomorrow morning, when we get up, some of us will leap out of bed, some of us will roll out of bed, some of us will struggle to get up out of bed. Whichever way you get out of bed tomorrow morning, know that there's a chance for new life. Nicodemus believed. We know this because at the end of Jesus' life, when he was laying on the cross, Nicodemus came after he died and asked for his body and wrapped it up in a last act of love. What will new life be for you tomorrow morning? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the animating spirit of God. We thank you that each and every day we can push a restart button and start a new life in you. And we ask, O Lord, for that one that needs new life, that your spirit would speak to that one today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.